ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Today's text, number 5. Ta gacha dhruva bhadrante. Ta gacha dhruva bhadrante. Bhagavan tamadhokshajam. Bhagavan tamadhokshajam. Sarvabhutatma bhavena. Sarvabhutatma bhavena. Sarvabhutatma vigraham. Sarvabhutatma vigraham. Tad gatsa dhruva bhadrante. Bhagavan tamadhokshajam. Sarvabhutatma bhavena. Sarvabhutatma vigraham. Meanings tat. Therefore, gatscha, come, dhruva, dhruva, bhadram, good fortune, te, unto you, bhagavantam, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, adhokshajam, who is beyond the concepts of material senses. Sarvabhuta, all living entities. Atmabhavena, by thinking of them as one. Sarvabhuta, in all living entities. Atma, the super soul. Vigraham, having form. Translation. This is Kuvera. First we had Svayambhuva lecturing Dhruva, and now we have Kuvera, which is even more extraordinary, and we'll get into that a little bit. Translation, my dear Dhruva, come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond our sensory perception, is the super soul of all living entities. And thus all entities are one without distinction. Begin, therefore, to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Please repeat, my dear Dhruva,
my dear Dhruva,
come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond our sensory perception, is the super soul of all living entities. And thus all entities are one, without distinction. Begin, therefore, to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Excuse me, purport. Accents on the first syllable. Purport. Purport. Here the word vigraham, quote, having specific form, is very significant, for it indicates that the absolute truth is ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This that is explained in the Brahma Sangita, sat chidananda vigraha. He has form, but his form is different from any kind of material form. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Supreme Form. As such, they are not different from the Supreme Form, but at the same time, they are not equal to the Supreme Form. Dhruva Maharaj is advised herewith to render service unto the Supreme Form. That will include service to other individual forms. You see how Prabhupada is really focusing on form here. That will include service to other individual forms. For example, a tree has a form. Now listen to the way Prabhupada puts this, because he refers a lot to this verse, yata taror mulana shechinena. But the way he puts it here is interesting. For example, the tree has a form, and when water is poured on the root of the tree, the other forms, the leaves, twigs, flowers, and fruits, are automatically watered. The Mayavad conception that because the Absolute Truth is everything, he must be formless, is rejected here. Rather, it is confirmed that the Absolute Truth has form, and yet he is all-pervading. Nothing is independent of him. Chirubhadaki. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtyam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vamcha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Tad Gacchatu Bhadram Te Bhagavantam Abhokshajam Sarva Bhutatma Bhavena Sarva Bhutatma Vigraham. So this is really extraordinary that Kuvera is addressing Dhruva, who has just practically extinguished his people the yakshas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vitejo yaksha rakshasam. Of the yakshas and rakshasas, I am the lord of wealth, Kuvera. So he's practically extinguished his people. And yet he's coming on to Dhruva, you know, not like we might expect in the material world. If somebody practically extinguished your ethnic group or your racial group or your whatever group you have, you might, you know, call a global press conference and, you know, announce what you're going to do to the other party. Well, you might not announce that, but when you hear, you know, acts of terrorism going on in the world, and this was a payback for this, and this was a payback for that, and it's like the cycle of violence never ends because everybody's paying everybody back, and therefore everybody's locked in karmic gridlock. But the high ground is taken only ultimately by the Vaishnav who was enlightened. So Dhruva has practically extinguished the yakshas. He's heard that Swayambhuva Manu, Dhruva's grandfather, has pacified Dhruva and has ceased and desisted in killing the yakshas. So now he's coming forward to, actually he's going to offer Dhruva a blessing. He's so glad that Dhruva is finally, you know, regaining his pure devotional adhikar. And before he blesses him and gives him, you know, benedictions, offers him a benediction, he's also making points, very similar to Svayambhuva Manu's points, you know, knocking down the bodily concept of life. And, well, today, he's saying, okay, Tad Gatcha Dhruva Bhadrang Te. First of all, he's saying, my dear Dhruva, come forward. Tad, you know, after what I've just spoken to you, Tad, therefore, Gatcha, come, come. He's telling him to come forward. He's not pushing him away because Dhruva's just almost annihilated the yakshas, but he's saying, come forward. Now, Bhagavantam Adhokshan, Bhadrang Te, all good fortune to you. All good fortune to you. Bhagavantam Adhokshajam. So he's starting to describe the personality of Godhead, to whom we're all related. He's drawing a big picture. He's taking the high ground and he's drawing a big picture. Because he's a very, very dear, responsible deva, demigod. He's in charge of the treasury of the whole demigods. So he's very enlightened. And he's saying, again, the supreme, sarva-bhutatma-bhutatma, the personality of Godhood is beyond, or hukshajam, beyond our material senses, is the super soul of all living entities. So that means that's how we're all connected. That's how we're all related. And thus all entities are one without distinction. And because he says that, Prabhupada's quick to balance it in the purport right toward the end. We'll get into that a little bit. It's not a Mayavad oneness, but it's a oneness of connection with Krishna. Sarva-bhutatma vigraham. And this is the word Prabhupada chooses to focus on, vigraham, in the purport, form. He mentions the word several times in the purport. Begin, therefore, to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So Prabhupada's focus on form starts right in the topic sentence of the purport. Hear the word vigraham. Quote, having specific form is very significant. For it indicates that the absolute truth is ultimately the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna has an impersonal feature, but ultimately that impersonal feature is coming from him. And this is an echo of, well, so many shlokas, but take the invocation to the Isopanishad, which, by the way, this Om Purnam mantra that we chant is not only the invocation to Isopanishad, it's the invocation to many Vedic mantras, Vedic blocks of mantras. Can we do it? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Gacchate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. I remember when this book first came out. It came out in the summer of 70 when I joined in Boston. We were singing this because the whole art department and the press was in Boston. So a book would come out and we'd feel so happy. And we'd sing this on the street. I don't even know if we knew we were singing, but we were singing it, you know. Oh, we'd be singing the Hare Krishna mantra, and then we'd do, and then all of a sudden Bharadwaj would break into, Om Purnamidam Purnamidam. We start dancing. So years later, perhaps, we realized what we were saying. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. Notice, Om is the personality of Godhead. You know, what's only implicit in the mantra, the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, because he knows where the Vedas are going, he makes it explicit, lest we misunderstand. It's a preemptive strike. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is complete in itself, and because he is the complete whole, Purnameva Vashishtate, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. And that's probably longer than the Gettysburg Address that Abraham Lincoln spoke. But anyway, so focus on form. It's also a nice echo of Gita 8-9, one of my favorite, another favorite shloka, because what's only implicit, I mean heavily implicit, but still nonetheless implicit in the shloka, Prabhupada makes explicit in his translation. And that's why some secular scholars don't like the way Bhaktivedanta Swami translates, because they say he just puts his own, you know, Vaishnav spin on everything. But the point of the whole thing, Vedaista Sarvaira Hameva Vedyo, Krishna says, I'm the goal of the Vedas, I'm the compiler of the Vedas, Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Deva Chaham. So only the pure devotee knows where the Vedas are going. So he's entitled, he takes his Vaishnav license to listen to this verse. Kavim Puranam Manushasataram Anuraniyam Samanusmaredyaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintirupam Aditya Varnam Tamasakparastam. Now, you won't find the word person in there, but you will find everything indicating a person. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything. Kavim Puranam, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and you see, in the Sanskrit it says, Achintu Rupam. Now Rupam is there, it means form. So Prabhupada chooses to translate, he says in the word for word, inconceivable, whose form. But he doesn't say form in the translation. Instead, he takes it a step further. He says, who is inconceivable and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Our godbrother Triyakram Swami tells how he was once taking prasad with Prabhupada, and they were sitting right across from Prabhupada. Might have been Berry Place, London. He was a brahmachari. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, without warning, Prabhupada leans over and starts hitting Triyakram in the shoulder. Chris is a person! He has form! He's a person! You know, get it? Wake up! But of course, it's not a material form. So, now I have a question. Let me just tell you about, just see how Prabhupada ends the purport, lest we misunderstand. You know, sarva bhutatma bhavena. Okay, we have a oneness, but it's not the Mayavad oneness. The Mayavad conception that because the Absolute Truth is everything, he must be formless, is rejected here. Rather, it is confirmed that the Absolute Truth has form, and in fact, that is the last word of the mantra. Vigraham has form, and yet he is all-pervading. Nothing is independent of him. Now, you'll find a lot about this in the 9th chapter of the Gita, the most confidential knowledge. Because after glorifying the knowledge he's about to speak, then Krishna, he speaks two verses. I'm going to put Kalakanta Prabhu on the spot and ask him if you know the Achintya Beta Beta Tattva verses from the 9th chapter of the Gita, which he's, but you have to get his book, The Song Divine. If I put you on the spot, so your memory's going blank. After Raja Vidya and after. Yeah, after Raja Vidya, right? That's very good. You're getting that's That's five. We're going to do four. Actually, it's not quite after. It's after a shredded Hana. Pandit ji, tell. Next verse. Yeah. So in those verses, Krishna is giving a hint of what Mahaprabhu was going to expound a lot later. By me, in my avyakta murti, my unmanifested form, by that murti you can't see that's within every atom, all those photons and protons and neutrons and electrons, they wouldn't be doing that unless Super Soul was there. Andantarasta paramandu chayantarastam. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, and Krishna turns, and yet then everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, although I am everywhere, still myself is the very source of creation. And Arjuna's like, huh? So, because he's representing us, we're the huh. Arjuna's liberated. Okay, so Krishna gives a very interesting analogy to make the inconceivable conceivable. Yatha kashi spito nityam vayuk sarvatra gomaham tatha sarvani bhutani matstanityupadharaya. Now it's a crude analogy. But it takes the acharyas. First I'll tell the analogy. Krishna says, as the mighty wind blowing everywhere always rests in ethereal space. As the mighty wind blowing everywhere always rests in ethereal space. Know that in the same manner all beings rest in me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, now when you read the Thakur's commentary, it almost makes you think that what we have from Srila Vyasadeva is the Bhagavad Gita, was really only the highlights. Because you got like within the lines and between the lines, you got what's going on between Krishna and Arjuna. So according to the Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, Krishna, you said Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram, you just told me that you have inconceivable mystic opulence and that you just made this very understandable to me. Yes, I understand. As the mighty wind blowing everywhere always rests in ethereal space, noted in the same manner, all beings rest in me. So how is it inconceivable if I can now understand it? So the Thakur says, at that point Krishna laughs and he says, no, Arjuna, I have given you an example, an analogy, between two inert things, sky and wind, okay? So sky and wind, okay, in one sense, the wind's within the sky, but they're separate too, but they're separate. But when I say, know that in the same manner all beings rest in me, it's a little different now, because what's the difference between inert matter and parashakti, consciousness? And when you're dealing with consciousness, Arjuna, everybody becomes very, very attached. You have somebody, you know, might be the shelter, and somebody else might be the sheltered. You know, you have parents and children, and you have employers and employees, and you have all kinds of master-servant relationships, and they become codependent. They become dependent on each other. But I'm independent, and that's the succeed after verses after that. Udasina vadasinam nasaktam teshu karmasu. I'm never attached. I'm never attached to what's going on really in this material world. I let the Vishnus do it, you know. I expand myself as Mahavishnu, and I'm Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, and Shiro Dakshai Vishnu, and Antaryami. But as that, I'm just neutral. I'm a neutral observer, a neutral witness. Upadrashtanumanta cha. I'm the overseer, I'm the permitter. But I'm neutral. I'm like a judge. Okay, you did that, you get $1 million, you get that, you go to the electric chair, you know. But later on, he reveals that he's very attached. He says, "Samo hong sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyai." Nobody's my friend or enemy in this world. Yebhajanti tumang bhaktiya mayi te teshu chapyam. But whoever renders service unto me is in me, is a friend, and I am also a friend to him. So when it comes to when we approach Krishna, then he gets, "Oh, okay, yeah, you're my devotee. Okay," it takes a lot of interest in us. So when Krishna describes all these verses early on, roughly the first 10 verses, well, from say 4 to 10, he's describing his Aishvarya. This is Aishvarya Gyan. This knowledge of Krishna's greatness, the opulence, inspires in receptive, pious people, maybe even impious, but an awe and reverence. But if we're too envious, if we're too jealous, then what happens? We get the Mayavad, and after we have our 9/11 for the Mayavad. The Mayavadis have their 9/11. Well, actually, it's 9/12, but 9/11 is Avajananti Mangudha Manushin Tanumashvitam Param Pavamajananto Mamabhuta Maheshwaram. Let's look at that verse, because this is people who don't accept Krishna's form. Okay, fools. Here it is. Long purport. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme Lord of all that be. So before I read you a little excerpt from Prabhupada's purport, why is it, I want to ask you, this is a real question now, why is it that Krishna, he's so great, we just heard how great he is, he's within it, he's all-pervading, and yet he's aloof, he's immanent, immanent, he's inside everything, like the pantheists say, okay, yeah, you're right, but he's also aloof, like the deists say, yeah, God just set the world spinning, good luck, have a ball, that's what the deists say, like the founding fathers of America, they were all deists, they were fried with Calvinism. So they were God-fearing men, but they had their own take. Thomas Jefferson even wrote his own Bible. He took the King James Bible and he edited stuff. He just wrote his own version of the Bible. So only with the Chintya Beda Beda Tattva, understanding how Krishna is inconceivably, simultaneously, one with and different from his creation, do we get an understanding of what's really going on here. So why is it that people, when Krishna comes personally inside his creation, that people mock him? They minimize Krishna, they mock him. Why is that? Anybody? Why do they do that to our Krishna? Why do they mock him? Why did I mock him before Prabhupada picked me up from the gutter? Why do we do that? We got Lukamanaji. Envy, a little more specific. That's sure, envy. Krishna comes into this world, and what do people think? He's just an ordinary man, right? There's a big word with a Greek root. It's called anthropomorphism. You have a... Yeah, even Brahma made this mistake. Even Indra, they forget. Right? Even Brahma. Of course, this is a little different. It's Leela, it's internal potency. So Brahma thought, how can this cowherd boy be? I mean, I got four heads. So many things are coming from me. All the species, the music, all these... This cowherd boy, what is this? So he had to test. You read chapter 10, or Canto 10, chapter 13. Brahma Vimohana Lila, Prabhupada's swan song, his last chapter. Prabhupada gave this is the ultimate swan song, Paramhamsa. He spoke this beautiful, not the words of a, quote, dying man. This is very sophisticated and scientific purports describing different relations of time and Lila. It's amazing. So, okay, I'll put you out of your misery, and mine too. Prabhupada writes, here we go. Foolish persons, however, cannot conceive that the personality of Godhead, Krishna, appearing just like an ordinary man, can be the controller of all the atoms and of the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The biggest and the minutest are beyond their conception. So they cannot imagine that a form like that of a human being, right, like that of a human being, can simultaneously control the infinite and the minute. Actually, although he is controlling the infinite and the finite, he is apart from all this manifestation. It is clearly stated concerning his yogamaishvaram, his inconceivable transcendental energy, that he can control the infinite and the finite simultaneously, and that he can remain aloof from them. Although the foolish cannot imagine how Krishna, who appears just like a human being, can control the infinite and the finite, those who are pure devotees accept this, for they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they completely surrender unto him and engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord. In 1976, there was the bicentennial of the United States of America, and I was in Los Angeles. Were you in L.A. then, Kalakant? Oh, you were in L.A., Vinayas. There was a big parade downtown L.A. Everybody and his brother had a float there, including the Roman Catholic Church. They had this very elaborate float. So there was a big float, and there was personalities from the Bible, like Moses was there in the front, and Moses was waving. And then there were, on the back of the float, facing back, there was Jesus, he was waving. And then you had angels, archangels, and then you had a throne, God's throne. And then you had above the throne was a crown. And then on the throne was nobody. Nobody was on the throne. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshata. This is what Prabhupada has come to save us from. Even so-called monotheistic traditions like Islam, you know, you can't, there's no form, there's no, you can't even say the name, you can't do nothing. Or in Judaism too, in some, I think in Orthodox Judaism, you can't say the name. So, Hatakshi Krishna Madhi Nabhid Rayam Indriyai Seva Mukhi Jivado Svayameva Spuratyada. Only when we're fortunate enough to come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord who can reveal the name, fame, form, qualities, the nama, guna, rupa, lila, and then we start serving that person, do our senses become a little purified and we can understand, yes, of course. If I'm a person, that means my source has to be a person. And it's, of course, he has no material form, but he has an unlimited spiritual form. Unlimited spiritual form. So what happens when we unfortunately mock Krishna's form? Here's the 9/11 follow-up, 9/12. Mogasha moga karman, oh moga jnana vichetasaha rakshasing, rakshasa, asuring chaiva prakriting. Mohanin Chita. Oh, this is the verse that Srila Prabhupada told Satsrupa Maharaj. You should write a book about how everything fails without Krishna, based on this verse. Mogasha. Those who are thus deluded are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Boss. Finish. So we have to become a little open, a little favorable, a little friendly. Give up all this crazy conditioning, you know, like that fancy word, you know, anthropomorphic. It means that agnostics and atheists, who are basically running the world, say that, yes, man is just projecting his form, personality, his humanness on the absolute. But they got it backwards. They got it backwards. The real fact is that our bodies are theomorphic. Right? We're made in the image of God. If there's so much form, quality, personality, how much must be there in the Absolute? That's the Vaishnav logic. The Vaishnav logic, Jiva Goswami, why not? He just turns it around. Why not? You have to first of all accept that the source of everything has inconceivable potency, achintya shakti. So that's Prabhupada's message. The absolute truth has form. Wake up, he has form. So I'll read the verse again. If you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. But please make sure your question deals either with the verse, the purport, or anything I might have said. Don't ask me why Krishna's blue. You have to ask him. Here's the verse. My dear Dhruva, come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhood, who is beyond our sensory perception, is the Supersoul of all living entities, and thus all entities are one, without distinction. Begin, therefore, to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Questions, comments, corrections? I asked Radhika Madhaji to be the umpire. Radhika, where are you? Okay, you got it.
I'm waiting for questions.
You have a question? Yeah? No? She doesn't have a question. Yes? Shamayi.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Loud and clear.
In other religions, if they don't have a personal conception of God,
what's the benefit? Well, there's a personal Okay, the question is, if the other religions don't really have a personal conception of God, is there any benefit in their religion? Is that basically the question? Yes, of course, because they're accepting that there is God. You know, when you read Srila Prabhupada or you hear him speak, sometimes he's very broad and sometimes he's very strict, you know, narrow on the point. So, and sometimes he embraces, Christians, Jews, Muslims, what have you, as fellow devotees, as fellow theists. Just like when he was in Melbourne, Australia, at the Franciscan Seminary. I think it was near Melbourne. If you can, any Melbourneites here? Anyway, Prabhupada went there, and then the seminary students said, you know, St. Francis, he had this concept of brother sun, sister moon, he saw all creatures in relationship to God, and Prabhupada liked that a lot. He said, that's real God consciousness. Yo mam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham napanashyami sachame napanashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So he was appreciating the Franciscans, St. Francis especially, God consciousness. And they loved it. They loved it. They became inspired by Prabhupada because he was embracing a saint, their saint, St. Francis. So we have to make a distinction between real religionists and what Prabhupada called so-called Christians, so-called Jews, so-called Muslims, which is, unfortunately, most people. Their religiosity is severely compromised, usually, by modern society, by desires to pursue sense gratification. So there's certainly a benefit if people actually, it's like one person once said to Prabhupada, this is in Columbus, Ohio, in a conversation, 1969, with Allen Ginsberg and Hayagriva and Kirtananda and a bunch of students. And so one student said, what about Christ? What about Buddha? What about Muhammad? And so Prabhupada said, what about them? Do you follow them? So if we actually follow somebody who is an authentic representative of the Supreme, yeah, sure, there's lots of benefit. That said, what can compare with This is Kaviraja Goswami in his ecstasy in the fourth verse of the whole 11,000 verse work, Chaitanya Chitamrita. He says, May that Lord, who was known as the son of Srimati Shachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali, but just to bestow what no incarnation ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant spiritual knowledge of the mellow taste of his service, specifically conjugal love. Who can compare? Just get a hint from Teresa of Avila, you know, and maybe Saint Teresa de Lisieux. You get a little hint of our lover, God, from the saints. You got to go deep. You got to go where the saints are, you know, where the Sufis are. Maybe you got to go where the Sufis are a little bit, you know, if you want it related to Islam. So, but you only get a hint still. But Mahaprabhu was come to deliver the full Purnam. So there's certainly benefit. And when we meet people, we encourage them, yes, follow. And come into our temple and take prasad. Is that all right? Yes, Vasudeva Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I really like this story of the floats with the angels and the archangels and Jesus waving and the empty throne.
Yeah. Amazing, just amazing to see that.
In connection with the question by Mataji, whether there's any value in such religions, and whether there is any personalism in God, I think that another way of looking at the empty throne is that not necessarily we don't want to put anyone there. We don't know what form to put in there. So when the form is not revealed in any particular religion, then we should not forget that it also applies to the Vedic religion, where in many texts, like the Upanishads and the Four Vedas, the form of the Lord is not mentioned, is not described. So most of the Hindus that are very confused about the form of God, it is not just other religions.
Yes.
But for us, I think what really matters is to appreciate just how valuable the revelation of the form of God is, and to make the best of it, and to give it to others, to put it in that throne, convince those who don't have the form of God that perhaps we do, or perhaps Krishna is that form. Not only the form of Krishna, but also can be so many other forms. Like he was saying, that he is all these other forms, like the universal form that's his and that we call the demigods. But in what way is his form? All this, we have such a wealth, but other people in other religions want that wealth. We shouldn't think that, oh, they are not interested, they don't want it. There are enough of them who are craving for it, and all we need to do is to give it to them instead of presuming
that they are not
interested.
Thank you very much. Yeah, in that connection, there was recently a survey, not long ago, maybe Kalakanta, I think it was one of those Pew surveys you hear on NPR, in recent religions that have appeared on the scene in the last couple of generations. The question was, who has the best philosophy? And the Hare Krishnas came out one of the new. And who had the worst attitude? The Hare Krishnas came out one again. That hurts. That means, as Vasudeva Prabhu was suggesting, we have a long way to go from Kanishna to Madhyam, so we can reach people. Preach means reach. Yes, Ramachandra.
We have such a detailed description of the Lord, his bodily features, his qualities, his desires even, and no other religion in the world has that. It's a bit overwhelming. How is it that we have so much detailed information, Krishna's toes, his legs, his thighs, his other parts of his body, and they don't know anything about what he looks like, and yeah, it's just a bit overwhelming sometimes, inconceivable.
This is very similar to a question a god brother of mine asked Prabhupada in a morning walk. You can hear the recording. We have a god brother, Prajapati, former seminary student and actor, very dramatic devotee. And he said, you can hear the recording, he says, Srila Prabhupada, why is it only now that a pure devotee has come to these western shores? Why? Only now. And you hear Prabhupada chuckling.
Before now, you were too sinful.
Another 1969, the Yoga System series. Prabhupada's lecturing the Yoga System in L.A. And Prabhupada, he's just given a class on 728, you know, Yeshaṁ Pantakataṁ. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life can engage in Krishna service with determination. So Sachisuddha, another god brother, diametric opposite from Prajapati Prabhu, real rough customer, former Navy guy, you know, boxer. Prabhupada, you say you have to be pious to worship Krishna. I am no pious. I was sinful. I was drinking and womanizing.
Yes, I have created your pious activities. Now you go out and create it for others. Yeah.
So we don't. Yeah, it is amazing. And Krishna says, "Raja Vidya Raja." Why is it the secret of all secrets? Because nobody wants it. We come to the material world not to serve Krishna, to run away from Him. So it's no wonder that even when we become interested in God, we take all our stuff with that and we approach God for material stuff. Even in, as Vasudeva is suggesting, Vedic religion. But that's the beauty of Vedic religion, that it embraces everybody, even if you're a Bhuta or a Pishacha or all these, you know, you got a Yurishthadeva, Lord Shiva. You know, no matter how low you go in this material world, we got a deva for you. Get aboard, follow his instructions, you get elevated from karmakanda, you know, jnanakanda, upasanakanda, and finally, you know, the Bhagavad is the paramhamsa samhita, yumatsaranam satam, it's for the non-envious. When we finally get it, you know, we finally become beaten down by the material energy and we finally ask, wow. You know, why? Why am I suffering? Kayami, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? And if we're fortunate, and then, but it's not only by getting kicked, because if just getting kicked were the cause, then everybody would be pure devotee, right? No. Then if we're fortunate, if we just are lucky enough to accept, you know, the gift. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai. Our Prabhupada says, kripai pai. He says that on the table. Guru Krishna Kripai Pai Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. We were wandering up and down and all around species and planets and dimensions and this and that, and finally and we hear a pure devotee Prasadale Shana Grahite Vahi Janati Tadvam Bhagavan Vahim. We can't do it on our own. Only when we get the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, all we have to do is accept the gift. That's all we have to do. That's our only qualification. We say yes. So let's say, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Okay, enough of me. Any more questions? Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.
Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare,